Hi, you're about to listen to an episode of the Pedestrian Podcast, recorded before a live audience at the Endgames Training Center in San Francisco, California, on April 28th, 2017. We start with a brief introduction, recorded in chipmunk voice, before the actual program. Please enjoy and subscribe. Thank you.
We had two episodes that we recorded that we didn't actually record.
Yeah.
The mics were on mute the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, but it would be great to... Oh, you know how, like, objects sometimes have a memory of, you know, of, like, the energy that hit them?
Uh-huh.
Like, our sonic energy? Like,
yes.
If we go back to Stageworks, uh-huh. I bet we could dig out the words that we spoke.
That's right. We also have photographic evidence of it.
Oh, yeah, we got
so we get, like, with all... Like, there's probably some noise distortion in those photographs.
Oh, yeah, like...
We could probably, reconstruct...
Then it looks ghostly.
It could be, yeah.
Noise distortions are just ghosts.
Thanks for coming out to the Pedestrian Podcast. I'm Hector.
I'm Krish.
This is we're doing something new. We've transferred over to this beautiful space, which I really like.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're gonna do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What usually happens is that Krish and I we're gonna take a suggestion from you guys, and we're gonna talk about this, mainly because we think we're really smart. But, in order to do this, we have our lovely friends who are going to do some improv.
Commenting on our conversation. Please give it up for Alice Wu, Andy Feldman, Bree Kalla, Caitlin Harrington, and David Chalk.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening, everybody.
And great. Yeah, so this is all part of Endgames Improv. If you want to take classes, I think most of you here are taking classes, check out endgamesimprov.com. We got shows here. Well, not here.
Mostly at Stageworks.
At Stageworks. Right now, we're in lovely Endgames Training Center.
North.
North, meaning there's a south.
There is a south.
Or, no, sorry, meaning there's an east. What if y'all was that person who was like, oh, north? Is there an east involved?
I grew up in East Brunswick, New Jersey. There was no West Brunswick, New Jersey.
Oh, see?
There was a South Brunswick and a North
Weird,
Brunswick.
Right?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
That's weird, yeah. I don't want in my work, there's this experiment that you do that's called a Western blot, but there's also these things called Northern and Southern blot, because the original founder, the first person who invented it, was called like Andrew Southern. He was Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they came up with like a similar technique, it was called Northern blot, and then they made a Western blot, but there's no Eastern blot.
Someone needs to come up with a new blot.
Yeah, well, no. No, I don't know. Well, okay, yeah. But it just doesn't make sense to name it a Western and then not.
Have you started yet?
Okay. Oh, you know.
Nope.
All right.
No.
All right. We should probably get a suggestion.
A suggestion from the audience. Diet trends. Thank you so much.
So, I've long been a vegetarian way before it became like in vogue. You know, I was born a vegetarian, and then I briefly flirted with eating meat at the age of 5. My grandmother disapproved.
Yeah.
And then I've been a vegetarian since.
That's funny, Krish. I used to eat meat. I come from a family who values eating meat mm-hmm. very highly, but I chose to be vegetarian. And in some ways, I feel like that's an important thing to remark on, because I made the active decision as an adult to stop eating meat.
Well, I also made a choice to listen to my grandmother, and I've continued to make the choice of staying a vegetarian. I make the choice every time I choose not to eat meat. There's nothing about that.
I mean, it's a lot easier to make that choice when you've always, like, when that choice is the only choice you've ever known. Just like if, if you grew up thinking that you didn't know how to fly, then you know, it'd be very easy to not know how to fly. Assuming that humans can fly, but we can't. So this is not a very good analogy.
Well, I have tasted meat before. I had chicken when I was 5. I had pepperoni when I was 5. So I know what meat tastes like, and I've ingested meat accidentally on a few occasions.
When you say you ingest meat accidentally, you're like, chicken nuggets. I don't know if there's actually chicken in there. I'm going to test.
No, that's not quite the situation. But there was like a pizza that I had once that had the pepperonis underneath the cheese. And I was like, this is really good pizza. This is really good pizza. And that didn't convert me. I didn't stop being a vegetarian after realizing there was meat in there.
I realize we're having this discussion without even asking, like, what is your reasoning for having a vegetarian diet? Assuming that the norm is not vegetarian.
I think it's two things. First, it is one of those things that is supposed to be closer to carbon neutral.
Sure.
And given the fact that I started out being closer to carbon neutral, I am harming the environment more by making the active choice to become a non-vegetarian than staying in the status quo of being a vegetarian. Whereas I think the better, like if you start out in your baseline, you'd arguably want to kind of continue in a way that is either stays and doesn't add more to the environment than you're already doing. So by giving up meat, I'd say you're kind of going in a direction that's carbon negative. So that's a great choice. I can't go any more negative than what I'm going in terms of my diet.
Right. Yeah. You're saying you're already like the best possible. There's no higher level that you can get to. Whereas like I went from my base upbringing where I ate meat, but now have been brought up to your level. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not insulting you by saying this. I'm not trying to say that I'm somehow superior. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I couldn't have, like, the only thing that I could do is something worse. Like, I can only do something, that's the only direction I can go in is worse from where I started.
Environmental reason, that's your primary reason for not eating meat?
That is my primary reason, yeah.
Okay, cool. You know, I think that's a great reason. I think we're living in an age where climate's changing, carbon's not being neutral. It's being very positive.
And protections are going away.
Protections are going, yeah. Our Environmental Protection Agency is led by someone who wants to get rid of it.
Our president just said he wants to get rid of a lot of national parks.
Well, yeah, although to be fair, those national parks aren't really doing anything for the environment. They're just hanging out. They're neutral, really.
Well, they're preserving a status quo.
Yeah, they're preserving a status quo.
So the only thing, yeah.
Which is great, which is like what you're doing,
exactly,
which is great.
Yeah.
But they're not like making an active decision to be better. You know, they're not trying to help us more, you know, like they're not trying to help the environment. They're just like, hey, we're already pretty chill. We're already very environmental and green.
Well, I'd say the president like makes an active decision by naming these parks or like naming them. So like a president can make that active decision. So there's a constant thing with our votes. We're kind of constantly making the active decision as people whom we put in that office as to whether we preserve national parks, increase the number of national parks, like increase those protections.
It's true. I am a one issue voter, and that is my issue is whether or not this president is gonna add or take away from the national parks. And unfortunately, we made the wrong choice. but don't you want to know what my reasoning is for not eating meat?
I absolutely would. You can just go ahead and say it.
the reason I don't eat meat is because the people that I really admire in life don't eat meat.
Are you saying you admire me? I was really hoping the answer would just be like an immediate yes, and like your hesitation's like making me a little uncomfortable.
No, it absolutely is. Of course, I admire you. I admire I admire things you do.
Yeah, there are so many other ways you could have put this. You could have said, "Krish, I was a vegetarian before I met you," or pescatarian to kind of be a little bit more precise.
Well, I mean, come on, we all fall in that vegetarian bin. Pescatarian.
All right, yeah, it's a big umbrella. It's a big tent. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you can be a vegetarian if you want to be called that.
Whoa, that's a little condescending.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it that way.
I'm trying to reach out to you. I'm trying to reach out from my tribe to just say, hey, man. Listen, I connect with you. I admire you.
That was rude of me. I take that back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. See.
Yeah. So like fun. I'm happy you've gone in the right direction.
Hey man, I'm happy you're keeping status quo.
Thank you. It's the best I could do. And that does sound a little condescending, but I'm not going to like take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like because we started as bank robbers and then we made the choice to not be bank robbers, we're actually better than other people.
I mean, We didn't just get born into not robbing banks.
Right?
Go with that our whole lives.
That would have been, like, so easy.
Easy and lazy.
And lazy. Like, we were born wanting to rob banks.
We changed our baselines.
Change is difficult, and we did it.
And, you know, I think that's carbon neutral, because we walk most places.
Right?
And we do online banking, so there's less paper and less exhaust and such.
Exactly. Also, I feel like the world should be thanking us, but now we can't even vote because we're felons.
And yet people that spent their whole lives not
robbing banks
didn't make any active choice to stop robbing banks, didn't know the sweet thrill of robbing banks, and then still make the active decision to stop doing that.
It's really fun.
They get to vote, and they voted for Trump.
If they even vote, they're probably so lazy they don't even get to vote, and the right to vote is wasted on them.
Like, we've had the right to vote ever since we were born.
Yeah. You know, if we had the right to vote, we would vote so many times.
I would, yeah.
We are really good at being active.
And we actively chose to stop robbing ballot boxes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. One more way.
We did that too.
We have gone really from carbon robbing positive all the way the other way around to negative.
Someone should give us an award. They should make us president.
But they're too fucking lazy to give
us awards.
They're
too lazy, that's why.
We're grandma pleasers.
Oh, grandma is the best person on the planet.
Yeah, every time I flirt with the idea of doing something, I think, what would grandma do?
Yeah, including flirting. Every time I see
every
a woman.
Every time I even flirt with the idea of something, I'm like, grandma.
Yeah, and grandma like came from a different age, so she was not an avid flirter, so it's like, okay, I'm not going to flirt with this person.
You know, I want to please my grandma.
Yes.
Sometimes I just sit in the bath for like an hour
and
get all pruny just like grandma, so
it's
when
the
she
best.
Comes over, I'm like...
Look at me, grandma!
Grandma, we twins. And grandma's like...
And she appreciates
it
so much.
Because she's like, you're clean. You know, my grandkids are clean. I'm like, yeah, check. Grandma, please her.
Yes. And just, you know, like, I like to just cook things for her that I know she's going to enjoy.
Yeah, like really old-fashioned breads.
Yeah. Very aged breads.
Yeah. Stale breads.
Yes. Grandma just loves that crunch.
Any sort of, like, open-faced pie.
Oh, yeah. And
anything with pulp in it, honestly.
Pulp, yes, yes. The more pulp, the better. Just orange juice that is basically not even juice.
No, and I cover myself in Aquaphor head to toe just to get that smell that she loves so much.
Yeah, and also just, you know, making sure that we have a lot of butterscotch candies in our pockets.
Yeah.
So when she's, like, feeling a little famished or something, like, oh, grandma,
or when
there you go.
To offer it to somebody, and she's like, I'm all out. I'm like, grandma, gotcha!
Got you back, grandma!
Grandma, don't forget about me!
It's, you know, anything to be seen but grandma.
And then sometimes, you know, we're walking down the street, and she's like, you know, walk a little bit behind me because you're crowd in me.
Yeah.
So
and it's like,
we're always with
yeah, I know.
And we're like, ha, ha, ha.
It's okay, grandma.
Okay, we'll do whatever you say, grandma.
We'll slow down our pace so you're happy,
slow,
grandma.
Slow, fast, run, sprint, walk still.
In fact, we'll just go home if that's what you want.
Let's go home. We'll wait for you at home, grandma.
Yeah. And then sometimes she doesn't come home.
Yeah.
Until very late at night.
The police.
Yeah. She doesn't like that, though.
No, but we were taught, you know, when the elderly don't come home, call the police. And we were taught that by... Grandma. Yeah.
I don't understand why there's pulp-free orange juice, because pulp is delicious. It's like, it's the, oh God, it's the best part of orange juice.
I didn't feel that way when I was younger. You know, I actually, that was something.
Because you weren't as refined. You were like a kid and you didn't know anybody. You were like, sugar.
I mean, that's true. I did kind of have a change of heart later on in life. You know,
yeah.
There was like, when I grew up, I kind of like grew to appreciate, like, I started appreciating food for what it is. I got more into cooking. I remember like we both got PhDs, and I remember like that was a choice that we made. And in the end of that, my grandmother came out from India for my graduation. And I remember her saying that more than my graduation, the thing she would always talk about was the fact that I made her a traditional South Indian meal. And it was just like, I'd gotten more into food. I'd gotten more into like, can I use natural materials? And it was just like one of those things where I'm thinking, I still think to myself, that was a bigger accomplishment, was learning how to cook South Indian meals during that time period I was in graduate school than actually doing my PhD.
You know, Krish, I'm glad that you brought up that we both have PhDs. because I think one thing that I've learned from my PhD is that, you know, one of the important things about, you know, who we are the things that we eat, right? And part of it is that, you know, for me, the reason like pulp is good is it's got, you still have some of that fiber, right? And like, you know, orange juice is not great for you because it's got a lot of sugars, but like the fruits themselves are great. They're fine, right? Mm-hmm. This is nature. Nature's given us these things. We were able to eat these fruits and survive and then be strong. But now like we took apart all the essential parts and just took the sugar, you know, and now we're just like a diabetic, you know, and unhealthy, you know, and overweight. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think what we need is to get back to that sort of, you know, like the essential elements of real raw food.
Mm-hmm. I actually completely agree with that, and I think that's the direction we should be going in. We should kind of be moving in a direction where we're more mindful about like our bodies, how we take care of, like, because taking care of our bodies is taking care of the environment. It's taking care of the world that we're in. And it's sort of being conscious of that that's really important.
Yeah, and yeah, mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. But I will point out, though, I had to learn this. I learned this by, you know, because I didn't come from, my mom let me eat anything. Mm-hmm. That's not true. She was somewhat conscious, yeah. But like, she was like, she spoiled me, yeah. Right? So really, I came to the decision on my own as an adult. I'm like, oh, you know what? I need to take better care of myself. Mm-hmm. And you know how I'm going to take better care of myself? I'm going to drink juice with pulp.
Well, I think it's also true that I had to learn this, and I think you're making a false assumption that I didn't. It just so happens that where I learned it from was just so happened to be my grandmother. You know, like, that's the only difference.
See,
like, I just learned it from somebody else.
See, I feel like you at least had the resource of your grandmother telling you. I had to learn this from Michael Bloomberg's anti-soda campaign.
That's, well then thank Michael Bloomberg for your knowledge. I mean, you're still...
God for Michael Bloomberg, yes. Yeah. Every day I thank God for Michael Bloomberg. I'm grateful because I don't have my grandma there to tell me to not drink juice without pulp.
It sounds like you're pitying yourself. It really sounds like you're pitying yourself that you didn't have the resources, but you did have the resources. Michael Bloomberg was your resource. It's like in your case, okay, Michael Bloomberg's there as like as your sort of grandparent. He's your grandparent.
What?
Yeah.
I could only hope that Michael Bloomberg was my grandparent. If I could ask for a grandpa Mike to sort of like, I don't know, uh-huh. Man, what a bar mitzvah I would have. But the thing is, I am very grateful that, like, you know, that I can pick up from the positive message. There's a lot of fake news out there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of like wrong facts, right? Mm-hmm. Alternative facts. mm-hmm. Not to dwell on Trump again. But the thing is, I think it's important that I picked out the right message. And the message here is that like we gotta eat healthy. And the healthy thing is that we gotta sidestep all the propaganda that big soda and big sugars piling on top of us. And we gotta get back to juice with pulp.
It sounds like you're bragging about the fact that you got to choose your like ideological grandfather, like as Michael Bloomberg. You're like, I was smart enough to choose the right person to kind of raise me.
I'm really grateful as a person who has gotten a PhD, as you know, to be able to make that decision.
Thanks for mentioning that again. I appreciate it.
Oh God, I love just going on the nature trail and finding all these plants and eating them. I love fresh plants.
Yeah. No. Fresh plants are great, but you shouldn't just eat anything that you find on a nature trail.
Oh, but they taste so good, and that feeling my stomach gets afterwards where it's going, thank you. it's wonderful.
Be, you know, gratitude from your stomach, you might be getting poisoned.
No. I mean, I'm still here. So clearly I'm, you know, they're not that poisonous, if at all. And it's worth it, because I feel so just... One with the planet after I eat some of those?
Well, not all poison like immediately kills you. It could be eating you slowly from the inside. You might not have a GI lining anymore.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You need that to, you know.
Do you think I should, like, you know, get some medical attention?
Yeah, you should talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Okay. Well, you know, there are some, like, medical plants on this nature trail here. I can just, like, look at my book, consult my book, and see what's there, and just eat those plants, and they'll, like, counteract the poisonous plants, and then I'll be set.
What are medical plants?
Well, I haven't looked through the book yet, but I don't know, like...
I don't have a PhD. I don't know what even you're talking... I don't even know the words that you're talking about.
Wasn't penicillin formed from a plant? Originally?
I don't have a PhD.
I don't either. So, I'm just...
How are you so smart?
I read all the best books.
Okay, but back to the point. Like, you can't just eat plants and they'll counteract other plants. Because sometimes, like, plants rub up against each other, or an animal's rubbed one plant and then it rubs another plant. What if an animal's peed on the plant?
Well, then I'm just eating everything that animal has eaten, and that animal's thriving.
But sometimes animals eat things that are fine for them, but they're not okay, you know, with our GI flora. Like, we can't digest the same things that, like, raccoons digest. They eat trash.
Well, then I evolve and become part raccoon.
Honey, I know that they talk about God as our heavenly father of us all, but I'm still your actual parent. You still have to listen to me.
No, I think I can only have one father. You're not my real daddy.
No, I am the one who, literally my sperm when it's your mom's.
God lets me eat anything I want.
No, okay. God does not actually let you eat anything you want. But more importantly, I don't let you eat anything you want because you're my child.
You're not my father. God lets me have all the Twinkies.
No, there's no place in the Bible.
God doesn't think there's diabetes.
Okay, while the Bible doesn't mention diabetes, you're right. I believe that it is bad for you to have sugar, and
I don't care what you think. God says I should drink a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola for breakfast.
God told you that you should drink.
It gives me energy. Why would God give me energy if it was bad for me?
When did God tell you to drink a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola?
That's between me and my father.
Okay. When you lock yourself in the bathroom and say that you're one with God, I'm just saying the whole rest of the family needs to use the bathroom. And so you need to listen to me.
God says it's fine. God says I can take as long as I want in there and eat whatever I want in the bathroom. And that's a good place to hide my Twinkies.
Okay, you know what, honey? I love that you're getting to religion. And you know, I talk to God too, and God has told me that it is very important that you listen to your natural born father.
Right, to God. He tells me that too. We're on the same page here.
Honey, I just want to clarify that God brought your mother and I together, and that we created you, and God expects you to listen to your earthbound parents.
I don't know about that. I think God and Mom would get along great.
So, I feel like there's a lot of, I think we got to get back to the essentials, right? We got to get back to eating like like raw carrots, no matter how boring they are. We gotta eat grapes before they're fermented. We gotta keep that fiber.
You have a lot of oughts as to what we need to be doing, and I don't think you're actually doing any of those things.
Yeah, well, because it's boring. Eating healthy is boring, Krish. It's hard, but I made that choice. You know, like, I was like, you know what, this is hard, but I'm gonna do it.
You keep saying I made that choice. Mm-hmm. You know, like, one thing I learned growing up was to beware of self-made men because they tend to worship their creator. Do you know who taught me that?
Was it yourself?
It was my grandma.
Oh, it was your grandma. Well, you know, we live in America, the country where you're supposed to realize the American dream. The American dream is being self-made. That's what Moby Dick is about, and that's what Hawthorne wrote about. This is what America is. America is about realizing yourself, your greatest potential.
You're saying The Scarlet Letter is not exactly a tale of like somebody who made themselves into something great. Like it's sort of, and Moby Dick, the Ahab goes down with the whale.
We wouldn't be talking about Hester Prynne if Hester Prynne wasn't great and didn't make herself great. We remember her because she's great, because America made her great. I know what this sounds like.
We both know what this sounds like.
I know where we're going here. I'm just saying we can be great again, okay?
Make Hester Prynne make America great again.
The A is for awesome.
And I, Ishmael, alone survived of the Pequod. American dream, bitches!
I just want to say that Hector is a Chinese-Taiwanese person who doesn't eat meat is pretty much the worst thing he could possibly do to his parents or our entire culture.
You guys, I just found the 11th commandment. Thou shall not self-induce diabetes.
Whenever I have to make a big decision, I always think to myself, what would Michael Bloomberg do?
I always think, what would Ed Lee do?
On a related note, I have a master's degree and haven't had a soda in a year and a half.
Ed Lee also eats meat.
I love my grandma.
I love Ed Lee more than my own natural-born father.
I like thinking about how Krish, like, accidentally ate meat.
I'm going to open a vegetarian restaurant where we just cover all the meat with cheese.
It's called Just Nuts.
That might be an inside joke for some people.
It's about his penis.
Speaking of meat.
I've never had anyone's penis, so I'm vegetarian in that way.
Me too.
Whenever I have a big decision to make, I always think to myself, what would Michael Bloomberg's penis do?
Probably eat meat.
So, Krish, I feel like we have a lot of overlapping common allies. We both love our grandmother. Mm-hmm. We both love eating healthy. I think
we also both make good choices.
I think we both make good choices. And I think we're both smart enough to make good choices.
Let's shake on that.
Shake on it, yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you to Sal. Thank you to Max. Thank you so much to our players. And thank you all.
Thank you all so much.
Gifted by
a nice PBR. All right.
Yeah, Krish, what happened to the prizes?
What happened to the prizes? Yeah. That's a good
question. Krish isn't made of money. Made of.
We like told his prizes on one episode, but we didn't even record.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.